Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Whitehaven Coal Quarterly Report Investor Briefing. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session for analysts and shareholders only, at which time, if you wish to queue for a question, you will need to press zero followed by one on your telephone. Any media queries will need to follow the regular channels. Please note that this conference is being recorded today, Monday, the 16th of January, 2017. I would now like to hand the conference over to your host today, Mr. Paul Flynn, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer. Thank you, sir. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you very much for making the time to join us today. Happy New Year, I should say, to everyone. I presume everyone's been back for varying times already and back into the swing of things. So I'll kick off, as we normally do, and try and get through the quarterly report in short order, and then we'll get to question and answer session. For our December quarter 2016, we've certainly done, you know, again, a pretty consistent performance from quarter on quarter. So I'll just go through the highlights. Importantly, safety has improved quite significantly during the period. I'll come back and talk to that a little bit in a moment. Our record managed quarterly and half-year metallurgical coal sales are looking pretty good at 1.2 and 2 million tonnes, respectively. Our ROM total at a managed level for the quarter at 5.54 million tonnes is a solid result, and our managed quarterly saleable coal production at 5.1 million tonnes for the quarter was slightly up on our previous corresponding period. The managed quarterly sales at 5.3 million tonnes was 7% up on that same period, and our first half managed ROM tonnes at 10.9 was 17% up on the previous corresponding half-year period. The first half managed saleable coal production at 10.2 million tonnes is about 10% up on that same half-year corresponding period. The first half managed coal sales at 10.3 is 9% up over the same comparison period. Maules Creek, importantly, is now fully equipped in terms of its ability to run at the 10.5 million tonne rate and has been demonstrating that annualised rate during the month of December. Expansion to the 400 metre face at Narrabri is on schedule and budget, and we're looking to see the commencement of that early in this last quarter of this financial year. Over the page, just in terms of the first table there, our managed coal production and our saleable coal production, as I mentioned, slightly up on the previous corresponding period, but a year-on-year basis, certainly the half is looking better than the previous corresponding half at 10.9 versus 9.3 and 10.2 versus 9.25, 10% up for the saleable coal production for the period. Managed total coal sales at 7 and 9% for the quarter and for the half year, respectively. Safety, as I said, last year we sort of had a bit of a lower rate of improvement from our year-on-year improvements we've been exhibiting over previous years. So we have been doubling our efforts to get better safety outcomes for our employees, and certainly this quarter has seen us do a pretty good result. In fact, it's probably lower than we've ever seen it, as far as I can remember, actually, as an organisation. So that's a solid result, and we certainly want to carry that momentum into the second half of the year. Coal sales for the December quarter at 5.25 million tonnes, 7% higher as I mentioned, and our equity coal sales in the December quarter just under 4 million tonnes is 5% up on the previous corresponding period. Metallurgical coal sales have been very good and have comprised 22% of our equity coal sales, and importantly, as we've been guiding, our low CV thermal coal sales have been dropping as a proportion of the total and have hit a low point of 8% of our equity sales, which is very positive as well. So the two ends of the quality spectrum doing the things that we wanted them to do. As I say, sales of the metallurgical coal, again, new records at 1.2 for the quarter and 2 million tonnes for the half year to date. Certainly good results. In the December quarter, 43% up on our previous quarter, which was certainly pleasing. Nice to see the coal receiving the acceptance that we were expecting for it. Over the page on our managed and equity coal sales for the first half at 10.3 versus 7.8, that's 9 and 6% up respectively from the previous corresponding period. As our managed metallurgical coal sales for the half, 2 million tonnes, that's 58% up on the previous corresponding period, which is a solid result. If we focus on Maules Creek just itself, our met coal sales, 29% of total sales, has certainly been a very, very positive outcome. So The semi certainly is receiving the sort of reception we would want, and both low ash, low sulfur, and certainly the coking coal characteristics themselves being on the positive side for customers, and that's seeing repeat business turn up, which is very pleasing. If we focus on the individual mines themselves, as you recall, the September quarter results were typified by some pretty heavy wet weather. In fact, that quarter had been the heaviest rainfall that we'd seen for some years. And so we started a little bit behind the eight ball, but certainly the mines with their recovery plans are hitting their strides, which is nice to see. Maules is doing very well at 2.46 million tonnes for the December quarter, 40% up on its previous corresponding period, which you would expect given the ramp-up that's in place. Our saleable coal production for the quarter at 2.23 million tonnes compares pretty favourably to the 1.7 the previous corresponding period, and coal sales for the period at 2.12 is a solid 34% up. ROM coal for the first half at 4.36 is certainly a positive outcome, higher by 32%, and our saleable coal production at 4 is 27% up over that same half-year comparison period. Now, the production of met coal for the first half at 1.15 million tonnes is 29% of the total, which is certainly ahead of where we expected to be, and we think that the second half will be around the 1.7 million tonne mark, which would be a solid result. Overarchingly, that would see us about 35% for Maules into the met market, which is certainly consistent with the guidance we've been giving in terms of that stage ramp up of met coal penetration into the market over the first 5 years of its production. Pleasingly, we have signed some terms business with met coal into the market now, which is very positive, and they've asked that we remain relatively confidential, but certainly the pricing is very good, is on the Japanese quarterly pricing. And the volume we expect to be more than 10% of our total sales for met coal for this year, which is very good. As I say, the equipment to go to 10.5 million tonnes is now on the ground and operating, which is great. So we'll see a stronger second half, as we will see for all of our mines, I have to say, in this year, as we have in previous years. But certainly at Maules, we'll certainly see it running harder in the second half than it did at the first. Over to Narrabri, and consistent with the note we put out a week ago now, which guided an adjustment to Narrabri's production expectations for the year, we have experienced some geotechnical issues which are known to us and have been experienced in previous panels, but I have to say this one lingered a little bit longer than we expected in panel 6, which is a little unhelpful, so we rebased our guidance to 7.5 to 7.8 for the full year. A week ago, as you know. Look, as I say, this area is known to us, and as I say, it did dwindle a little bit longer than we thought, but so as a result, we have taken the decision to put a bit more preconditioning into panel 7 just to make sure that we can cover this period and work through it as we have in previous panels with less interruption to our production flow than we saw during this last quarter. The totals themselves are still pretty good, 1.87 and 4.22 for the half, 24% lower in terms of the quarter, but 22% higher as far as the half goes from a period-on-period comparison. Those numbers then flow into the saleable coal production at 1.87 and then 4.1 on a quarter and half-year comparison basis. Now, sales for the December quarter at 2.1, 4% lower than the previous corresponding period, and sales for the half at 4 million tonnes, versus 3.73, slightly up on the previous corresponding period. Development works continues to go well, so it's just over 5 kilometres for the quarter, and then just under 11 for the half, so consistent with our budget position. Importantly for Narrabri, longwall panel 7 is ready, and the pre-installation work of the new longwall equipment is going ahead as planned. This project is on budget and on time, and we do expect to commence production on longwall panel 7 in the first week or so of April, which would be very positive to see. I'm sure everyone's keen to see how it performs in its ramp-up period in that final quarter. Over to our Gunnedah operations, and which have been running nicely, which is very pleasing to say, at 1.13 million tonnes of ROM for the quarter. We are slightly down on the previous corresponding period, and for the half at 2.3 versus 2.5 for the previous corresponding period. Because we have been running pretty hard on these sites and they've been performing very well, we have bumped into our trucking limit at 3.5 million tonnes for Tarra and Rocklin in particular. So we have sought a variation from our existing limit to give us a calendar year limit of 4 million tonnes for 2017, which we have lodged and we expect to be finalised in the next week or so. So we'll be able to then haul a little bit stronger down the down our haul road down to our Gunnedah prep plant from these two sites in particular, which does again contribute to that that sentiment. As I said before, the second half will be stronger than the on the first half, and consultation and the associated processes that go with these modifications have been conducted, and there are no major hurdles in seeing that organised within the next week or so. Tarawonga, as I say, has been producing pretty well, and at 640,000 tonnes for the quarter, it was a pretty strong one compared to the 540 we saw in the previous corresponding period. Saleable coal production is there at 500,000 tonnes for the quarter, similar to the previous period, and sales themselves at 512, 10% up on the previous corresponding period. Raw coal production for the half at 1.14 is up, and again we expect the second half to be stronger than that again. Sales for the first half at just over the 1 million tonnes is 5% higher than the previous corresponding period. Rocglen has been scaled back a little bit over this last the last month or so of this past quarter, just as the effects of this this trucking limit were affected. But we ended up moving people across to Maules Creek just to make sure that we can produce more from the from Maules, which is obviously unaffected by those types of restrictions. But at 242,000 tonnes for the quarter was lower, obviously, than 350,000 for the previous corresponding period. Saleable coal production and coal sales is at 185,000 and 207,000 respectively, similar to the previous corresponding period. The half totals there at 570,000 and essentially 590,000 for the previous corresponding period were also good results. Werris Creek at 246,000 tonnes ROM coal production for the quarter compared to 300,000 for the previous corresponding period. And the site is doing well in terms of its recovery from the heavy rain we saw in the first quarter. As you know, if it's going to rain anywhere around our operations, it always seems to do it at Werris, and it certainly was affected, but the recovery plan's well in place. Coal sales for the quarter around 300,000 tonnes compared to just under 500 in the previous corresponding period. ROM coal production for the half at 600,000 tonnes compared to 850 for the previous, so there's a little bit of ground to be made up here, but as you know, Werris always comes home strongly in the second half, just not just because of the sequence of where the scenes present themselves, but certainly with that wet weather in that first quarter, we're going to be having a bigger half than expected in the second half for Werris in particular. Our Vickery project going through you know, obviously a very material revision to the Vickery project's approval is on track, and we are finalising the documentation for submission of our EIS within this half, this calendar half, which is pleasing to say. We are finalising a preferred route for the rail corridor, which is the last piece of that puzzle to be defined before we do lodge that document, and we do expect to see that finalised within the next couple of months and lodged shortly then after. It's very pleasing to see that coming together nicely. The timing remains the same in terms of the Vickery startup. We said that would be once Maules Creek is fully ramped up, so no change there. In terms of coal prices, I'll just skip down to the corporate there. Obviously, we always provide our forward book, which is relatively modest and seems is basically at the market in terms of the current FX rate. Coal prices there for the period, we provided our average for the quarter, $104 for our met coal tonnes, which is obviously up substantially from the first quarter, which was an average of $70 for the first quarter. 22% of our sales is, as I say, very pleasing to see that responding nicely. In terms of our thermal coal mix, the average for the index was $94.71 for the period, and our achieved results was at $92 US, again up substantially from $64 from the previous quarter, which is an average outcome for all our tonnes, so it's nice to also see, as I say, the premiums on our better quality tonnes offsetting the discounts that you'll take on our lower CV tonnes, even though they are forming a smaller proportion of our overall businesses, as we say. The average premiums at Maules Creek about 9%, which is also very pleasing. And at these levels, that is, you know, these are quite significant numbers in terms of absolute dollar terms rather than just the percentages themselves. But as everybody knows, and we are no different to everyone else, there is a lagging effect of the various contractual positions you have with all your sales in a market where prices have been rising. So we'll carry that into the second half, which sort of skews somewhat the results for the second half, which we'll talk about in about 4 weeks' time. Pleasingly, we've seen some pretty high settlement prices for the hard coke, and relatedly, the semi-soft pricing, but you'll all have seen certainly prices moderating since that time. But we do see structurally some positive and consistent messaging from the Chinese market in particular, which says that they are still on their pathway of reducing productive capacity, which is very positive. We should see some good support in the second half. So say we expect the second half to be certainly stronger than the first half volumetrically and relatedly, I think, financially as well when we get to that. Exploration, obviously not a particular focus at this point in time. There's plenty of work being done on site and around the existing deposits, but nothing other than that has been consistently reported now for a couple of years now. And with that, I think that concludes what's been a pretty solid quarter for us. We're certainly happy that with the half that it's produced for us. The second half we think will be a little higher. The split generally has been about 47, 48 first quarter to second quarter. I think it'll probably be a little bit stronger than that for the first half to second half comparison, I should say. We probably expect it to be more like 45 to 55 between the two halves of this financial year. And that pretty much wraps us up for this quarter and half. We'll hand back to you, operator, for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Flynn. Ladies and gentlemen, for audio participants, if you wish to queue for a question, please press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press 0 then 2. Your first question comes from the line of Brendan Fitzpatrick of Morgan Stanley. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Thanks very much. Morning, everyone. The Narrabri mine, we've just seen the ground conditions, and the commentary suggests the preconditioning should address it in the longwall 107 panel, but it is going to be the first of the wider longwall panels. Just confirming that there was a high level of comfort heading into the wider panel with that geotech condition, and what sort of timing would you expect to encounter that ground so we know when to watch for it over the next longwall panel production?
Thanks, Brendan. I'll just make a couple of remarks and I'll hand to Jamie, who's here as well as Kevin and Ian, obviously. This was certainly an area that we certainly observed the existence of, and we had preconditioned an area of it before. It did, as I say, last a little bit longer, which was a little bit disruptive for us, and you would have seen at various, if you watched the production flow from each of our panels since the commencement of the mine, we certainly go through a period where we grind it out a little bit more during a certain period, and then at the back end of the panel, obviously the numbers and the coals flow pretty quickly. And we'd like to think we're in that area now. Doing a little bit more preconditioning in longwall panel 7, we view that as being good insurance, and we'd like to take away any of the possible risks that we could observe, obviously given the importance of longwall panel 7 being the first 400 metre face. But I think as a general statement, the effect of the preconditioning has been good. But I think we're just, from a security perspective, would like to extend that a little bit further than what we've done in the past. Jamie?
Yeah, just to echo Paul's comments, I mean, we did do preconditioning in 106, and when the long wall operated under that area, we had essentially no issues over and above what we normally experience with weighting events. I guess the learning is that, we probably should have just extended a little bit further, I guess. In terms of comparisons of 106 and current installation at 300 metres versus 400 metres, we don't anticipate that widening of the longwall is going to create any different operating conditions. I mean, the area that we're dealing with is not across the full width of the block. It really is a localised area where we get a thickening of the sandstone and conglomerate sections above the operating horizon, so we target into those areas, and for 107, we'll be just a little bit more conservative in terms of the area that we treat or pre-treat to mining.
Okay, and when would you anticipate encountering it on the next panel in terms of a
quarter period? Well, it's typically in the second half of the block. Right? So,
okay.
Sort of towards the back end of this calendar year, I guess, is when we'll start to encounter that area.
Okay. Thanks, Jamie. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Peter O'Connor from Shaw and Partners. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Morning, Paul. Happy New Year. Just two questions on pricing and price realization. On the met coal comments that you made about the contract that was done at the Japanese basis type pricing, could you just talk to me about what the other pricing of the other tons does? And just firstly confirm, was it 8% you said is done at that new contract structure? And by extension, what happens to the other 92 or thereabouts percent? And then could I go on and ask about price realizations, just understanding that steaming coal and the fixed price tons and what Maules Creek gets as a premium, just what discount, I can back calculate it myself, but can you help me out, what discount is there for that? And on the realization for the March quarter for the semi-soft, you gave us a number for last quarter, which is 104, and we did have the discussion on the call at the last quarterly. What should we expect for this quarter, given the 171 price contract versus the last quarter, about one sort of 30-ish? Any help would be appreciated.
Yeah, I understand. I'll try and cover those off, Peter, and yeah, happy New Year to you. Look, there's a range of pricing structures, if you like, from the various sales that we've been making. And I'll deal firstly just with the met, just so you can get a flavour for that first. The met generally goes out on the quarterly basis, and certainly these new sales that we've been making from Maules, we've been demanding that that be the case. So that's very pleasing. So there are some small discounts that we've been giving to that price, where we've been shipping trials into people, but the trial period largely, you know, is done, unless of course we're speaking to someone we've never spoken to. But I would say now that trial period is over, and that we should be able to realise, you know, the Japanese quarterly price for our met coal sales going forward. Certainly that these new sales that I mentioned to you are all on that basis. Now where it goes, I'm not going to get into that commentary too much, because we can all observe the differences between the quarterly price and Platts on any given day. So I'll leave that up to you to form your views on in terms of where that goes. But you know, some of our other sales, PCI in particular, you know, the basis of those prices, as we've spoken about it, you know, at length before, we do have yearly pricing in those contracts, and so they're set up and they're put in place, and there's also some variability in those prices as we go forward. So we do have a mixture, and as I say, we've got a lag, and everybody does have this lag. As a company, more generally, I would say to you that we're probably more at the market than most other people, because all the new tons that we've brought on have generally not been on either from a thermal side of things, from a JFY pricing perspective, or the quarterly semi-soft pricing in Japan either. So they've generally been at the market. So we would approximate the index sooner than our competitors would, I would say. But there's always going to be a lag embedded in there. Now, to the extent that pricing for semi looks different at Platts, substantially different from what that last quarterly settlement was, the benefit of that lag and that pricing tail will fall into the second half for us. So I think that generally see, as I say, that's why I'm saying that rather than the 48 to 52 type first half to second half type outcome we've seen in the past, we'll probably be more like the 45 to 55 type split if you're trying to model out the year and its two halves performance.
So Paul, not trying to get guidance, but just looking at the current quarter, and as we discussed on last call, if you started last quarter semi-soft price about 70 and the contract was sort of 130-ish, the average is 104, should I think something similar for this quarter where the starting point's 130, the contract for the quarter is 170, so I'm going to get a number somewhere in between, 150? Is that too simplistic?
Oh, well, I don't know where the next quarter settlement will go.
No, not the next quarter, but the current quarter. So the current quarter price is 171, last quarter is 130.
There are no sales. I mean, you can see what the Platt number is just as well as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll put it to you that there are no sales being done unless you're contractually bound.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the market is doing any sales from what we can see. New sales, I'm talking about, at the quarterly Japanese price because of that divergence in prices.
Okay, so there shouldn't be a lag like there was in the last quarter, I guess is my point.
No, there will always be a lag when it comes into a price where a period when prices have softened. That lag is a benefit rather than a discount as it presents itself.
Perfect.
Thank you. Your next question is from the line of Lyndon Fagan from JP Morgan. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Oh, hi, guys. Look, just to continue on the theme of realized pricing, I guess I'm still looking for a bit of clarity on how we get to 104 versus the settlement at 130. So obviously there's a lag there, but can you help us in working out sort of how much is on a yearly pricing basis, and apologies if you already gave that out, versus floating, and is it a quarter lag, is it a month lag, do we average this quarter and last quarter there's another big jump heading into the March quarter, and looking to sort of work out how much of that extra $40 a ton or so you end up capturing, or versus how much rolls into the following quarter, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Look, we haven't broken those things up in the past, and I'd prefer not to do that. But the reality is that you've got PCI tons, which generally have a different pricing regime, as we said before. There's generally been a fixed price component of that, which gets negotiated during, that's the longest period of that is a 12-month period. So let's assume that at any point in time, your six-month duration through those contracts. And then the semi obviously is on the quarterly basis. Now, as I say, our semi generally does the index itself. So you need to analyse down in terms of the split between your met and your PCI in terms of your total met reported sales. But you're going to end up with as I say, somewhere between those numbers. Any further sales that we're going to make, so new sales that we would anticipate making during this next 6 months, as we come into the year end, I would put it to you that because of that difference in the market, you're not going to see too many customers wanting to use the JSM basis for pricing at the moment. Now, the market's pretty strong in the sense that demand is good, so we're pretty happy about that. But turning up to a customer and talking to them about $170 US at a time when you can see the Platts is 110, then that's not a discussion that happens in an instant. It's one that needs to be negotiated, and you'll end up landing somewhere in the middle of all of these things.
Right. So I guess just to be clear, you don't get that benchmark necessarily. So you're saying you have to negotiate new sales based on where that benchmark is versus spot. So when we're forecasting.
Yeah, sorry, Linda. As I said before, if you're contractually already signed up, yes, you will. You will get the $170, say, for instance. Right? But to the extent that you're signing up new sales, when people can see a spread in the marketplace as large as it is, then it's going to be a negotiation. There's no doubt about that. But if you've already got them signed up, which, as I mentioned, the term business that I've described before, that's all signed up, locked away, that's at that price, but it's only been in more recent weeks, and maybe a month or so, that you've seen this big divergence occur between, what that last settlement number was and then where the spot market for that same product has gone, then if you're on the other side of the table from us, of course you're going to be talking about a negotiation as opposed to just straight up handing over $170 per ton to each of their suppliers. Who are looking for incremental sales to be made, as we are. Obviously, we're bringing new production on.
Right.
I think this issue disappears because you don't see such big discrepancies between the quarterly index and the spot market. You don't see such big distortions. But when you do see them, then, of course, people change their negotiating tactics, and people who normally might buy longer, as we saw with thermal coal last year, happened quite often. When you saw that Japanese price get settled, and there was a big distortion between that and the GC Nuke at the time, you saw people's negotiating tactics change, and this will be no different for this quarter, I suspect, with the semi-soft.
So can I just finish off by trying to break it down? How much volume is on a yearly fixed price firstly, if you can say, just to try and help us at least eliminate that portion. And then secondly, sorry if I'm confusing myself, but do you actually get a full quarter of sales based on, for the remaining portion, do you get a full quarter of sales at the 130, but just on a lag basis, or is there a, is that not how it works?
Well, the lag's not created by the 130, because that's just the quarterly price itself. The lag is created by commitments that you've made prior to that 130 being settled, just to be clear. The 130 itself should be what you see in that quarter itself. That's why it's done ahead of the quarter. So that those, but those for other, where you've settled on other price bases in the past, those are the things that, that lag. Say for instance, PCI into India. We generally sell that. We sell that on, you know, a fixed basis. We have some tons which we put at a margin to other indexes as well, but as a general statement, that still holds. But otherwise, the 170, for those who have contracts for the 170, you should see that in March. To the extent that you have a contract in place that refers to that price, despite what the customers will say is awkward for them because they're paying 170 when they can see the spot price just as well as you and I can. But you've got to look at these things over time, and you know, they'll just have to take those as they have taken the better months, which have been in their favour rather than ours.
All right, I'll leave it there. Thanks a lot, guys. Cheers.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Paul Young from Deutsche Bank. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Yeah, morning, gents. Happy New Year. Couple
and
of questions
you,
again. Yep, thank you. A couple of questions again on pricing. Again, back on the semi-soft pricing, Paul. I guess a bit of this comes down to, I mean, each customer has a different pricing strategy, right? The Chinese versus the Koreans versus the Japanese, right? And they all contract on a different duration. So I guess what the guys and myself are asking is that, and understand that your sales mix to your customer base is changing as you add new customers, but it would be good to get some guidance on, if possible, on maybe a split of who you sell to, just roughly, and also the duration of those contracts. So I guess that's a point to help everyone out. But more specifically, just on a question on carryover tonnage, I mean, you know, one part of this is on pricing and who you sell to and duration of those contracts, but you must have some carryover tonnage, right? I mean, obviously, you've committed, but you're selling at the last quarter pricing into the forward period just due to shipping and inventory management. Do you have carryover tonnage? And if so, is there a rule of thumb when you're running at the sort of 20 to 22 million tonne run rate, what sort of carryover tonnage we should be expecting for the group as a rule of thumb?
Okay. Well, I'll try my best on that one, Paul. It's as you well noted, and it's a good point, that we do obviously have different customers with different pricing bases, and as we're adding new customers into the mix, they are adding new price bases into that equation. So unfortunately, it's not as simple as just saying, 20% is fixed and the rest is variable. So what I'll say is that, say for instance, in the example that you've mentioned is good, that don't forget these pricing outcomes are set at the time you agreed to sell it. Now, in our instance, say for instance, with met coal sales, which is the point of the focus of these questions, say for instance, as we've said before, we've done pretty nicely in terms of moving quite a bit of met coal into China. Unexpectedly, the demand has been pretty strong out of there. So because those are new customers and because they're buying it on a shipment-by-shipment basis as opposed to putting in place a longer-term arrangement, they've offered to take, say for instance, a cape of semi-soft, and they've offered what is relative to the price on the day or at around the time that we're doing it, acknowledging also the index that's there as well. We would say to them, look where the price has been. It's been $130. We want $130, and they'll say, well, look where spot is. We think it should be X. And because you're doing it on that basis, it is a very short-term time horizon in terms of your commitment. But it is always referable to the point at which you made that sale. as opposed to later. And as it comes to your second point, which is carryover tonnage. As a general rule, the carryover tonnage is from a quarter-to-quarter basis is not big. The only carryover, if you like, of any length is really where you fixed a price for an extended period of time. As I say, for instance, the PCI tonnages, the maximum term there is 12 months. So at any one point in time, you're 6 months through the duration of it. As it turns out, from the PCI perspective, we look to be resettling some of that relatively soon, and just from in terms of when the contracts roll around, and from the thermal side of things also, the tons which we've sold into Korea, largely coming up for renewal to the extent that we want to continue to sell into that marketplace or move them around a bit as we've been doing, but essentially you'll see a reset of those prices also over the next couple of months. As volumes into Korea are re-tendered, now that everyone will start to come back from that break, and we know that a lot of the power stations in Korea are still relatively short on tons, so there's obviously good price support there for decent pricing even into that market.
Yeah, Paul, so I might follow up with Ian afterwards just to run through a few more things on the met coal pricing. Now, the next question is on just semi-soft sales from Maules Creek. Demand in the market's pretty good at the moment. You've had the acceptances from some of those Chinese steel mills, et cetera. So you're forecasting a 5% lift in semi-soft sales half on half, so 29% of Maules Creek sales were met coal in the December half, and now you're forecasting 35%. I mean, based on where you're looking at the acceptance of this product and the fact that it's been pretty good, do you think that going forward beyond that, and I know it's a touch hypothetical, but 5% increments, increasing by 5% increments is the right number to model?
Yeah, look, I think, Paul, just to reflect back on our previous guidance, we said we'd start off with 10 to 15 in our first year, and then we'd add 10% each year then after to essentially get ourselves to 50% in year five of production. Based at the rate at which we're penetrating the market at the moment, we'll do that earlier. I think you can chisel a year off there, I think, for sure, just in terms of where we're going. As to whether or not that's a straight line basis and works for your modelling assumption, that's a little bit lumpy because, you know, they do tend to come in larger lumps rather than just being dribbling out consistently throughout the year. The tonnes which we sold or finalised just prior to Christmas, you know, for the next 12 months with the large Asian steelmaker, has been very positive. We will get the JSM price, and that will be, that's really the first semi-soft term deal that we've been able to sign up, which is great. But this calendar year should be the term deal for Maules Creek, you know, as a general theme, because the trialing process, you know, has been extensive, and really any return shipments now, we're talking about term business with all these customers. So you should see us bed down a few more contracts here. Now, people aren't going terribly long term with these things, so 12 months I think is quite typical, but you'll definitely see us continue to push hard on this, just because, as you can tell, the incremental cost of production is relatively modest compared to the margin improvement that you receive for selling this coal. So as Maules Creek operation is as a whole, we're actually at a point where we don't want to commit too much more to thermal tons for any great term. We'll continue to sell short-term tonnes there, but we do want to keep the available capacity at Maules for the semi so that we can respond to the market as that's interest, as people come back after their trial, and be able to sign up meaningful tonnes with them. So we're at that point where we want to keep future tonnes of thermal sales relatively short-term so that we can maintain this option of a higher degree of penetration into the semi market as the market's sort of indicating to us it wants.
Yep, okay. Well, maybe just to frame it a different way, do you think you can get to 50% semi-soft sales in FY18 from Maules?
I'd have to look at the detail of that. I think that's a little ambitious, Paul.
Right. Okay, and in turn, do you think adding more tonnes could potentially impact the price?
I don't think so. If we had more tonnes, we could have sold them. There's no doubt about it. So I think the appetite's definitely there.
Okay. All right. Thanks for your time. Cheers.
Thank you. Once again, that is 0 followed by 1 on your telephone. We have a follow-up question from the line of Peter O'Connor of Shaw and Partners. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Hi, Paul. I'm putting my technical geek hat on now. Just got two questions, one for Jamie on Narrabri and one for you on Vickery. Just on Narrabri, Jamie, can you give me a little bit more sense exactly what's happening? And you talk about it being a discrete area of the blocks, but I'm just intrigued how it's a discrete area in each block, but it doesn't go across the gate roads. So is this a linear feature which dissects the blocks on a particular angle? And what exactly is it? Is it convergence you get in the supports when it occurs? And how do you deal with that? Just so I can get a sense of what it is. And then on Vickery, Paul, when you talk about Vickery starts up after Moores Creek, and you've made that clear consistently, and I get that, and going back to the upgrade and reserve resource at Moores just a little while ago, do we think about that start-up of Vickery now being a little bit later, given you may actually continue to expand the rate of Moores Creek? Or does Vickery start after the original targeted, fully ramped up Moores Creek, if you get my point?
Okay, we'll start with the Narrabri piece.
Yeah, Peter, look, typically what we're seeing is it is, you know, a zone that does angle across the blocks. I mean, I guess what it is when we get sections of sandstone and conglomerate which are thicker than about 20 metres, I guess, in the roof section. So it's something, I guess, a little bit hard to describe, but I guess you do get, you know, discrete zones, if you like, where that thickening occurs. And I guess what we do is we precondition those areas. I guess it's not an issue for us in the gate roads. It's more that you do get a beam effect, if you like, where it does cause some convergence on the supports if you don't have it broken up in advance. I guess if you're mining those areas. I mean, you know, as an example, we're well and truly through that zone now. In the last 3 weeks at Narrabri have been, you know, 200,000 tonnes or better production for the week. So, you know, what we've demonstrated clearly is, you know, when we're able to identify where these areas are and we do treat them, you know, essentially the mining operations are unaffected in those areas.
So it sounds like you just got to take your preconditioning wider either side to cover it, and that's what happened this time. Is that how
we understand it? Pretty much simple. That, Peter. Okay. Pretty much as simple as that. When we came out of the area where we treated, I guess we went through a transitional zone and we copped a number of quite substantial weighting events which we had to deal with. And it really is as simple as that. We'll be a little bit more conservative of treatment leading into and out of that zone.
Thanks, Jamie. It's clear. Yeah.
And so Vickery timing, Peter. The Vickery timing is the same as it was before, there's no doubt about it, but to your question about the upgrade of reserves in Moores, I mean, that that doesn't influence our thinking as much just because that's really an extension of life, but I presume the other side of that question is related to the notion that we could increase the approved limit at Moores, you know, somewhat from the 13, say for instance, say to the 15 maybe, or 16, we think is probably the physical limits that we'd have to work within. Would Vickery then be delayed until after that's done? I think the timing of these things, we think Vickery is around the 19 to 20 type time. That's a pretty short timeline if you're thinking about construction and so on from where we are today, because we need to obviously lodge this, say for instance by 30 June. The government will take its time, and let's estimate that to be say 12 months if the state holds true to their improvements in turnaround time, but let's say 12 months, and then the construction effort, so that puts it in that zone at these sorts of prices, then I think you'd be motivated to move forward with it, despite the fact that by that time we would hope to have lodged and received an approval to take Moores a little bit higher. So I think that timeline still holds, regardless of whether you thought there's some more tonnes at Moores. I mean, two million tonnes of ROM, or you know, 1.8 of product out of Moores incrementally is not going to delay Vickery, a 10 million tonne ROM mine, too much at all. The math of that won't slow that down.
Thank you very much. Your next question comes from the line of Amber McKinnon of UBS. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Hi, guys. I didn't realize I'd put myself down for a question. Apologies. But I, one thing I was hoping to ask, actually, was just to clarify the split. I know you guys gave the half-yearly numbers, but if you could, is it possible just to give us the split of sales for met coal from Narrabri and Maules Creek separately?
Sales for met coal and Narrabri. Oh, we haven't done that. Yeah, okay. I haven't got that to hand here, Emma.
Just for the December quarter. That's okay. I can come back to Ian later. As I said, I didn't realise I'd put myself up for a question, so thanks very much.
Right. Not to worry.
There are no further questions at this time, sir. Please continue.
Cool. All right. I suppose if we're if that's the end of the questions, thanks, everyone, for the time. We look forward to connecting with you over the next few weeks and months. And, of course, in 4 more weeks, we'll have our full financials out for the half year. But if you've got any questions, you know where to find us. And, of course, Ian's contact details are on the bottom, as are the media details also for the media. Thanks, all, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.